everybody thinks, oh no, I got to change my golf swing. But obviously with Coop, Morgan, Connor and I, like we go on the golf course, we see so many folks. There's so many things that golfers can do out there that would help them play better golf, shoot lower scores, and don't have anything to do, you know, with taking a golf lesson or making a swing change.
If you're relaxing on a beach, try a refreshing yacht water. Want to get better at your game of golf? Follow us along to New Sweeper TV.
Cheers.
Anyways, thanks for coming. For those of you that came. And Connor, thanks for hosting this again, as usual. Great time.
Hey, Connor.
There we go. Way to go, Connor. And we're back at TPC Prestancia, and it's good to have, for those that weren't with us today, Morgan Hale, who's been with me for 13 years, now the director of instruction at the Creek Club on Long Island. We've got Donald Cooper, who's a caddy at Augusta National and caddied on tour for 20-something years.
I did.
Yeah. We worked together with Lucas Glover for five and a half years. And then, of course, Connor Luke, who's the director of instruction here and works with us. And I thought what would be a good topic, and we're obviously going to take y'all's questions, but I thought a great topic would be to talk about easy things that you can do to lower your scores that don't have anything to do with changing your golf score, right? And everybody looks at me just like
Kirby did.
Just like you did, right? Because everybody thinks, oh, no, I got to change my golf swing. But obviously with Coop, Morgan, Connor, and I, like we go on the golf course, we see so many folks. There's so many things that golfers can do out there that would help them play better golf, shoot lower scores, and don't have anything to do, you know, taking a golf lesson or making a swing change. So I thought it, you know, I just thought we'd kind of go around the table and ask that. And any questions you guys have, obviously, we're happy to answer. I'm going to start, and I'm just going to say, if you would practice, come on in. If you would practice,
Gina,
if you would practice 30, 40, 50 yard shots on the range, I don't think very many people ever practice them. I think they go and maybe hit some pitches or chips, but they don't know exactly how far they're pitching the ball. True. And I think that when you go on the golf course, if you've got you get a par five and you've hit two good shots, a good drive, and you bang a good 3-wood up there, pins on the front, you might have 40 or 50 yard shot. And if you can get that up there and give yourself a better birdie look or whatever, it improves your score. I think if these par threes now oftentimes are long, you miss hit a shot, don't even hit that bad a shot, you're just short of the green, pins at the back, it's a 40-yard golf shot, right? And so I think practicing 30, 40, 50-yard shots, and then, but more importantly, not only practicing, but knowing how far you carry those shots. Like, I know Connor has a launch pro with him, Bushnell Launch Pro. Shout out to a sponsor. But if you practice those just a little bit, like, you know, how far you carry, what size swing is a 30-yard shot? What size swing is a 40-yard shot? I think you could dramatically lower your score. Even if that's not the strength of your game or your golf swing's a little off, just getting better and a better feel and a better understanding of how to hit it and carry it those distances, I think would make you too.
Yeah, just to go back to that, what you just said, one of my lowest rounds I've caddied in the last 2 years at Augusta was caddied for a 70-year-old woman, and she would hit it maybe 175 off a tee, and she'd hit her 3-wood about 150, but she had a 60-yard shot that she could hit dead stone on every hole.
Wow.
And she one-putted every hole.
Yeah.
And I had pros, and it was just amazing that one shot that she had made her shoot par. I mean, it was amazing. And I also think that we try to get too fixed into the ball going in the air, and all that matters is that it gets to the target. It doesn't have to get in the air. I mean, I think if we kept the ball lower sometimes, it would maybe help. I could be wrong on that, but that's visually, that's what I see is if you have one shot that you can depend on and replicate over and over, you can play golf. But if you've got no shots, you probably don't get smoked.
Connor?
That's good, too. I think the first thing that comes to mind is having a shot that when the driver's off, like off the tee, that you can trust and go to, just like what we're saying. But like,
yeah,
for me, I've got this 2-iron that I like that's, I can rip as hard as I want, and it's going to go to the right every time. I don't have to think about how I aim it. I don't have to think about much. I just get up there, and I trust this thing, and I can hit it 16 holes around, 14 holes around, and I know where it's going to be in play. And I think that's a big thing. Like, you watch, especially with some of my, you know, high school kids and stuff, they think every hole that's a par 4 or par 5 has to be a driver every time. And that's just not the
case. That's right. It's handy to Mo.
Oh, yeah.
Mo, what do you do with the creek glow embers? A little shout out. Hoping I get invited back.
Thanks, Chief. Yeah, more into like my department, I would say, besides full swing, is like the fitness side. You know, I think having, you know, one or two things that you can do away from the golf ball is important, and knowing why you're doing them and how it helps your golf swing. I think that's one of the quickest ways, you know, to get better and to work on your swing. If you look down at most clubs, if you look down the range, you just see people ranking balls over and hitting, and before you know it, you've hit 50, you know, golf balls with no plan or no purpose. And I think, you know, having an exercise or two drills that are go-to drills for you and for your swing and what you're working on in a practice station, you hit less golf balls, but with more intent.
Okay. And just to kind of follow up on what Mo said, and those of you that are in the school are going to do this tomorrow, just, if you had a warm-up routine that didn't involve hitting balls, if you had, I mean, Mo, you're going to take them through probably 8 or 9 different little exercises in the morning, but if you had 3 or 4 little exercises that you could do before you play golf that got your body moving in the right movements, you know, in the right planes, just like how you're moving in a golf swing, I think you, even if you didn't have time to hit balls, you'd play better golf. I mean, how many of you out there start off and you don't find your golf swing until like the 6th hole, right? Everybody, it happens all the time.
And how many have replicated a warm up exactly the same?
None. Right? But so if you have consistent, you know, it can be 2 exercises, 3 exercises, 4. It doesn't have to be much. And you're going to get a good sample of it, those with you tomorrow when Mo takes you through. And I think that would help. I think so many golfers say, oh, you know, I started off double bogey, double, but whatever. But around the 5th hole, I kind of found my golf swing. Well, if you, you know, if you warmed your body up and got loose and got it moving in the right movements before you went, you know, maybe you don't start off birdie, but you probably don't start off 8 over.
Yeah, and they didn't find the golf swing, they found comfort.
Yeah.
So if you're comfortable going to the first tee, then you're probably 6 shots better at the end of the day, just by being comfortable.
But man, you know, if we go into other things, I would tell you, you touched on this today, and we were joking about it before we went into when we were in the car on the ride from the airport over here, but like, if you did some speed work on the green before you went to play and you had a feel for how fast the greens are rolling, you would play better. Going back to the, man, I mean, I just really struggled. I 3-putted 3 of the first 6 greens or something like that. Most of the time, that's just getting a feel for the speed of the green. So if you really focused on the speed and did a little speed work and hit you 10 putts and a drill that I like to give people to do is just go stand in the middle of the green 30 feet from the fringe and roll 3 putts and try to get them as close to the fringe as you can without touching it, right? Like, it's super simple, no target. You're just trying to get them as close. You're very much in tune and focused on just the speed. I think that would help you. There's just so many things that you can do that we call low-hanging fruit that would help you play better golf without taking golf. Not that we don't want you taking golf on for Connor because he needs to eat. But there's ways to shoot better golf without changing your golf swing.
Yeah, I think I watch a lot of amateurs in Acadia and Augusta. They go to the putting green and they're putting to these holes. And every once in a while, you see someone that's putting to a hole that's been filled. And I really pay attention to those guys because they're always good putters or gals. Because even if they make the putt, they want to know how far past the hole it goes. Because a lot of putts we make are off speed. And I think speed is the key to putting. I mean, I hate marking the ball twice on the green line. It's ridiculous. I mean, unless it's an enormous green, we should be able to mark it once, and then they shouldn't allow you to mark it again. Seriously, it should be within that area where it's good. And I mean, really and truly, you can get your speed to where that can happen as far as how far, you know, past or short. But the breaking, we got a lot of work to do, Mark.
Yeah.
And we're going
to.
It's okay. The grain, really, that's some stuff we're going to have fun with tomorrow. But yeah, speed is the key of putting, in my opinion. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think I think we play a lot of golf and nobody, but we don't practice effectively, like Morgan said. And then I think we take stuff to the golf course. It's like if you got a bad avocado and your bunch of avocados, they're all going to go bad real fast. And if you can spend time on the range in the station, understanding your ball position and where you're aimed, and then you can take that to the golf course. And I don't know if you guys see this too, but for me, like, if we're, especially with me, you work on it before you do, and then you go on the golf course, it all feels weird for the first two or three holes. Like, for me, I get on to the right. And then if I can get it right for the first three holes, and the rest of it gets easier by the end. I'm aimed way better, and it's not what I think about it. Agree?
You aim too far right.
Yes.
I said that's quite odd.
I'm 11.
It's one from here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you aim too far left.
He doesn't even know what hand it is.
Don't left-hander aim too far. See some of the students that are right, but you aim too far left.
Yeah.
Yes. So I just want to make sure I heard that. Because a right-hander always aims too far right. And it goes back to the line. The line thing. For years and years, I couldn't understand why I wasted so much energy pulling the ball online and cutting it back to the target. Well, last week I found out why. And it made
just like 60. We did a soul together.
Started playing golf when I was 5. I just figured it out because I saw money.
Thank God.
And it makes perfectly good sense when I look at
what was your right plus?
When I look at the screen, my target line away from the ball, of course I'm going to be pointed right.
Right.
You aim too far left.
I usually go.
We need to take you and do something because you're the only right-handed person that aims too far left. I've never done that. Have you?
I mean, occasionally
you're special. I mean, a good.
I am.
Yeah, but seriously, I mean, that one little problem, aiming, was my problem all the way through my life, and I never knew it. I don't, you know, and it,
you're just, special.
It blows my mind. I mean, seriously, like when he said he aimed too far right, I'm like, what? I've never seen a left hander aim too far right.
Huh.
Why that? I mean, why is that, Tony? I mean, seriously.
Come on, Tony.
I think most aiming errors, well, it's perception for one. I don't think anybody steps into the ball or goes to the golf course and says, I feel like aiming shitty today. Right. I mean, I think that it's percent. They think they're aiming at the target. I think a lot of it goes to the fact that they don't practice or monitor it.
Right.
And I think it also is contributed by, you know, which way they miss the ball. They tend to favor and so forth. So, you know, I think it goes, you know, if they tend to start balls too far left and cut them, they start aiming more and more right, and then it makes it worse, right? So I think there's all – I think a lot of the stuff that you can do, too, and this kind of is going to be my next point, then I'll turn it over to Mo, is just understanding what your tendencies are. And everybody's different. Like, does your ball tend to curve too much to the right? And why does it do that? Or does it curve too much to the left? Does my ball tend to get too far back in my stance? Does it tend to get too far up in my stance? Whatever it is, whatever your tendencies are, if you understand those when you go play golf, you can self-correct. And everybody's different. And that isn't a swing change. I would say that understanding, most importantly, your tendencies in your setup. Like the ball gets too far back, or I get, my hip posture isn't very good. I get too much on my toes, or I get too much on my heels, whatever it is. And that would be something, I know Connor does a lot of that in his golf lesson. Like, that's the part of our job as teachers, is to educate you on what your tendencies are. It's not just changing your golf swing. It's helping you understand what to do so that you can correct it. What you got for us, Mo?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just add to that a little bit, but I think it goes back to, like T said, tendencies and understanding how to, set a practice station, whether it's on the putting green or on the, chipping or pitching, not just putting it down, but actually knowing why you're doing it and, what it's correcting. And that doesn't mean it changes the next day. That might be your practice station forever.
Right, because it's probably taken many, many years.
Yes.
To get the...
And it should be checked every time you come out. I mean, I think that's one thing that we work on a lot. I know Jackson does a lot of is, finding your tendencies, building you a practice station that you can work on, making sure you know how to set it up. And then that's the one thing in the golf swing that we can kind of control. Yeah. It's how you set up to the ball. You can make sure your feet are more aligned, especially when you're practicing, or your ball position's in a better spot. Something that we can actually check before you ever make a swing. So I think that's, something that's super important that, everybody can do a better job of.
I think just, golf's an inconsistent sport. Nobody's consistent. But like finding a couple things that help you and doing them all the time and staying with those things regardless of, even if you shot a million
the day
yesterday,
now.
Right? You don't abandon what you've been doing. Right. It was just a bad day.
Or if it was your best run.
Right. And so, I think one of the things is, like, I always think about this, you and I've talked, like, I used to go down to Palm Beach a bunch and with Lucas Glover, and I'd go out to the Bears Club with him, and I'd watch other tour players there. And they were always, and one in particular was Justin Thomas. And I just remember he always did the same two putting drills every time I saw him, where all the years I'd go out there. And, like, he at different times he might have had different putting coaches or different things, but
and his putting is going up and down.
Up and down, but he had very version of the same basic putting. And that always struck me, like, he's one of the best players in the world and he's a great guy. And I know him fairly well, like, just consistency. And so I think that when it comes to putting, I think good players have a version of two things. They have some drill that they do that's from short distance that makes them start the ball online, right? And it may be a 5-footer straight up the hill that they snap a chalk line and they just practice rolling it up the hill. It might be a ball from 5 or 6 feet with two tees on the outside of your putter that you hit, and you roll the ball through those tees, and that just monitors your stroke. Find something that helps makes you learn to start it online. And then they have some speed drill they do. They all have some version of those two things. Find two that work for you and just do them all the time.
Yeah.
And even if you putt bad for a period or you putt shitty for a month, whatever, just keep doing it. Doesn't mean what you're doing wrong. It just means maybe you have to play good. Yeah. And then the other thing is, I was going to ask you, Mo, what would be like two simple exercises that you think each of these people can do? They can do off by themselves that'd be good for their golf games. And you've seen a lot of these people already hit balls. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of them would be rotary exercises, right? I think when we talk, and today even talking to a couple people, most things done in the gym are linear, or just whether or not, that's just how they've always trained and never move their body in that way. So I think, some band exercises that are meant for more rotary or separation exercises, like upper and lower body separation. I think we hear a lot of people want to hit it further, or they want to swing faster. And if you're not training your body in that way away from the golf club. It's going to be really hard to do it with the golf club, and especially on the golf course. So I think it's really important to train your body that way away from the golf course and learn what that feels like. Add a couple exercises into your daily routine, or, you know, when you go to the gym a couple times a week, whatever it may be, that fits your schedule. But make sure it's rotary. I mean, that's our sport. And it's not, and it's functional, you know, more functional exercises in the gym.
Yeah. And if a simple exercise, if you're really attached to this game and your life is consumed by it, here's a good exercise for you if you're a right hander. We'd never do that. Lovely. Never do we look that way.
Well, we're driving.
I know, but seriously, just doing that, I can feel the tightness in my neck because I'm always looking this way. But, I mean, you could do that in your office, you know, seriously, just getting stretched because everything gets tight that is supposed to work. Loosely, it's tight out there. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's the golfers will never look that way. Never. How many times do you look that way?
Yeah, I'm going to start thinking about it.
Though. I'm looking out.
I'm looking at you.
Right. I'm always looking this. Maybe it's a caddy thing.
I'm going to need a guffy.
Probably a caddy thing. But anyway.
Gunner, what else you got?
You want to open up to a couple questions?
Yeah. Anybody have any questions? Or did we just already bedazzle
you? I know she's got a question.
There we
yes,
go.
Sir.
What was that?
Always absolutely not. No.
Oh.
Sometimes that's the worst place on the earth to play for. I've noticed this through years and years of gambling. On Wednesdays at the courses for the pro-ams, they always put the pins in the middle of the green, and it's the hardest place to play from because trouble left and right is just, if you pin high, you're dead. So I say, miss it in the correct spot. The correct spot's not always the middle of the green. Now, that's just a personal opinion.
I think if you played wherever the flag is and you tried to play 20, 30 feet to the correct side of it, you would play better.
Right side.
What's that?
Yeah. Like low. So if the pin is back right, and you just tried to hit it 30 feet and say that it's uphill, you would try to hit it 30 feet to the left of the hole, a little short of it, right?
So your putt would be uphill.
Uphill, right. And I think, you know, and the good part about it is everybody said, well, I don't always hit it online or hit it where I'm going. But when you do hit it good, you'll hit it right there. But you'll, I think, like, and then understanding your miss, like if your ball tends to curve a bunch to the right and, you know, the pin is on the back right, but if you miss it to the right of the flag, toast, because there's crap over there or it's big slope and it's bad or bad rough, like then you got to aim more than 30 feet or 20 feet to the left of the hole. You aim at 45 and maybe you hit it 45 feet, two putt, and you get the heck out of there. But maybe you mishit a ball that curves too much and you hit it 6 feet, right? So it's understanding what your misses do and then aiming accordingly. There's an app out there, Decade Golf. He's big on social media. And that it's really good for that. It's good. I think if golfers, it gets real in-depth, but some of the basic stuff I think is great. Like just understanding where, you know, how, you know, where your misses are on both sides, and that kind of dictates how you aim. I think that's would help you. That's Decade Golf.
D-E-C-A-D.
Mm-hmm. I just want to go back. And to answer your question, is a great question, but I feel like Tony said, you got to look at what you've got out there and then you miss it correctly. And that's not always the center of the green. Now, if we could hit the center of the green every shot and putt to the edges, sure, that would be the way to play golf. But I just don't feel like we do that. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, usually you're told to play to the center of the green and putt to the edges. Well, sometimes the center of the green, every once in a while, in the correct spot. That's the only point I was trying to make there.
And sometimes, like, instead of going at a hole, where if you miss it, it's in bad shape, missing the green in the correct place is an easier shot.
Outside the box.
Like, chipping up a hill, like, you know what, if I hit it a good shot and it gets the hole, it releases through, it runs over the green, and it's terrible chipping from there. It's rough, it's downhill, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? I'm going to hit a shot that if I smoke it, it may barely crawl up there. But if I just hit a normal shot, it's going to be just short of the green, but it's a 15 or 20 foot chip straight up the hill, or I can putt it from the fringe or whatever. So I think, you know, those things, and Coop's going to do a bunch of that out there with
tomorrow,
golf course tomorrow. And he's going to do some situational stuff with you guys around the green tomorrow in his station with you guys. So I think, I mean, these are just all things that like most golfers don't think of. We see it because we watch folks like you hit all the time. And then we've also been very fortunate to be around the best players in the world a bunch and then see how they think and how they navigate. I think that's a big part. What else you got, Mo? Any other questions? That was good.
That was a good question.
That was a good answer, too.
We're always taught. I mean,
it's in the back, get short and walk out.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
But there's also times that that's not the best, right? Like, there's times I've been to golf courses, I know you've caddied, that like sometimes it's better to be long over the green chipping back to the hole than it is to be 30 feet short going where you got to go up over a ridge and straight down a hole that you can't stop.
And you know, as amateurs, we don't see that because we're afraid of what's behind the hole for some reason. We feel safe if it's this side of the hole. Very seldom do we hit it past the hole, and I've still yet to figure that out. I mean,
yeah,
for real.
And I think, too, like on par fives or long par fours or whatever, where you can't get to the green, start or you may not get to the green, likely won't get to the green. Think about where would be the best place to chip
from. Yeah.
Like if I'm a crummy bunker player, I'm going to hit a club that can't get to that bunker, right? If, you know, whatever it is, I mean, if the rough is really bad, I'm going to hit a club that is going to stay in the fairway, can't get to the rough, whatever your weakness is, or whatever the shot is. But like, you know, whether it's here at TPC, your stance here, if you're in another golf course, like from the fairway, like if I miss it, where is it going to be the easiest place to chip from? Mo, what you got? Any other questions? Yeah.
No other questions. All right. We're going to have fun tomorrow.
We're going to have fun tomorrow. We'll have some good fun on the golf course. There we go. You got any questions for us?
What time do we start tomorrow?
9 o'clock, Billy.
So far away from you. They're married.
Lord, she's not going to be here.
They're married.
That's why.
Anyways, well, we appreciate everybody coming. Great question. Hopefully this was some good, solid information that'll help you.
It was.
Yeah. And that's our job. Each time we come here, obviously Connor's here every day, but you know, each time we come is to do something that helps educate all of you how to play better and do some stuff. I know Morgan and I are going to have another trip or two down here where we'll do, you know, some golf fitness. She wanted me to lead the golf fitness, and I just felt like
we're too limber.
I felt like with my physique, like that'd be a little out of place. So anyways, I'll handle the full swing. She can handle the fitness. But anyways, I think that's good. We'll have some fun tomorrow. We'll have some more fun this season. Thank y'all.